Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez from Good To Be Social. And today we're going to talk about leveraging digital marketing in a post-pandemic world. Our guest today is Stephen Clark. Stephen is the Senior Marketing and Communications Manager at Brown Rudnick, where he oversees the firm's PR and digital marketing efforts. Stephen is based in New York and joined the firm in 2021 after managing digital communications at Hughes, Hubbard & Reed for 10 years. Prior to joining the legal industry, Stephen was an award-winning journalist who served as a staff writer for the LA Times and as a politics editor for the Washington, D.C. Bureau of FoxNews.com. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Thank you for having me, Guy. I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you for being here. We're delighted to have you as our first guest of 2023. So welcome to the show. Before we get started on the topic, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself? How did you make that switch from being a journalist to joining the legal industry?
That's an excellent question. I ask myself that constantly. I would say that, you know, I was in D.C. at the time, and my son was 2 years old at the time, and we wanted to get up to New York. And I saw this job on my alma mater's career board to work at this law firm. And I said, you know, let me give it a try. And the person who was in that position, I went to class with her. So it just gave me a certain level of comfort. I like to joke that I think nobody says when they're a kid that, you know, I want to grow up to work in legal marketing. You know, it's something that you stumble upon or you learn about at some point when you're older. It's been a very rewarding and fulfilling career. So I'm very happy that I'm doing it.
What would you say has been the biggest surprise in joining the legal industry? Was there anything that, you know, really surprised you about the way things are done, or, you know, is it pretty much the way you expected?
No. There's always surprises. I'm still surprised every day. I would say that number one, when I first joined, I guess I was just under the impression that lawyers were, especially lawyers at these type of firms, AmLaw 200, I'm just like, they're gods. And, you know, I'm not worthy to be in their presence. You call it whatever. I don't know what it was, inferiority complex. I'm not sure. But, you know, after a while, I started to realize they're just, you know, humans like everyone else. And they're just looking to do a good job. And they're doing great work and working on some great cases and matters. And, you know, we're there to help them. You know, we're here to publicize that work and let people know about it.
That's interesting. So let's talk about marketing in a post-pandemic world. How did the pandemic affect Brown Rudnick's digital marketing strategy?
So, you know, I joined the firm in November of 2021, and I learned pretty quickly that Brown Rudnick was among the early adopters of digital marketing and social media. The firm joined Twitter in 2011, Facebook in 2012, and Instagram in 2017. Now, from my perspective, I found the firm's history on Facebook and Instagram noteworthy, considering that your inaugural social law firm index in 2013 reported that 64% of AmLaw 100 firms had a presence on Facebook. And your 2019 social law firm index reported only 31% of AmLaw 200 firms had a presence on Instagram. So yeah, I thought that was pretty noteworthy. Instagram definitely more so than Facebook. But, you know, history aside, you know, the pandemic greatly reduced our activity on Facebook and Instagram, which are our primary platforms for sharing photos and videos of our lawyers and business professionals in action. But, you know, in 2022, a couple months after I started, and, you know, my boss, Julia Bennett, who's the chief marketing officer at Brown Rudnick, he joined in 2021. We decided as the pandemic began to subside that we wanted to renew our commitment to those platforms, Facebook and Instagram. And we started sharing more content, including a new partner video series, Q Q&A profiles of women trailblazers connected to our firm and photos of our people mingling at social events or receiving awards. But, you know, I would say the biggest change for our firm's digital marketing strategy during the pandemic was the introduction of our podcasts. We began producing them in May 2020, just a couple months after the pandemic began. So our current podcasts include The Women in Business, Brave New Energy, and our newly launched video podcast, The Bitcoin Verdict.
Tell us a little bit more about that podcast. That sounds pretty interesting.
Our digital commerce group recently expanded in September with the group including four partners. And one of the partners, Haley Lennon, she's really been the engine behind it. But the podcast is for that. It's really focusing on crypto, Bitcoin. And so it just launched a couple weeks ago. The second episode is going to come out later this month. And, you know, crypto, there's a whole lot going on there. If you haven't read the headlines.
There's yes, a lot of quite a bit.
Yeah. There's a lot going on there. So we're very excited about that podcast. And as a matter of fact, we're building a studio in our New York office. Yeah, we're really pouring a lot of resources into the podcasting.
What prompted the firm to consider podcasts as part of your marketing and business development strategy? What was really the driver?
You know, my understanding is that our lawyers wanted to utilize podcasts to keep in close touch with clients and just give them a platform to discuss their work, their goals, just the great things that they've been doing. So, you know, our lawyers in our London office, they were really behind our first podcasts. There's Tech Matters, which discusses the latest issues and developments in the tech industry. In those first episodes, they were highlighting contact tracing and health reporting technologies. Another podcast is A Little Legal, A Lot Interesting, which discusses topics in law and its practice. It started on the realities of remote hearings and a client's experience with the pandemic. And then we had the Energy Transition podcast. And that began by focusing on companies participating in a climate innovation pitch event at the COP26 UN Climate Change Conference in Scotland. Now, that podcast was recently rebranded Brave New Energy. You know, our other podcasts have focused on women in business, law students participating in our fellowship for first-generation professionals, and on our recognition as the Law 360 Bankruptcy Practice Group of the Year.
That is fantastic. Let's turn to Instagram. And in our 2022 Social Offer Index, Brown Rudnick was one of the top ranking firms when it came to Instagram. What strategies helped you to become one of the most successful firms on Instagram? What would you say you guys did that really, you know, helped you to rank so highly this year?
We're still just in shock about our ranking, our success in your index, and we're very pleased about it, especially given, you know, as I've mentioned before, just the events of the pandemic and how it really affected our strategy. So, you know, when we revived our Instagram feed in early 2022, we really focused on showing our humanity, our diversity, and our tight-knit workplace culture. And, you know, I mean, look, you know, I'm sure a lot of firms talk about the culture there, but I mean, at Brown Rudnick, it's really true. I mean, it really is a close culture. And, you know, if you go on our Instagram feed, you'll see a lot of these photos and videos of our firm outings, firm initiatives, sponsored events, including a Yankees game for our summer associates, Chesterton's Polo in the Park in London. Partner Louisa Watts served as the first female captain of our New York team, as well as our inaugural European Litigation Funding Conference in London. You know, Guy, Instagram, it's a great platform for this type of content because people engage in a different way. You know, seeing faces or hearing voices, just experiencing the intimacy of that. So, you know, given Instagram's popularity among the younger crowd, we really found this to be an ideal platform to communicate with law students and junior associates interested in joining our firm. But I will add that, you know, our followers grew exponentially in 2022 after we began sharing content featuring Camille Vasquez and Ben Chu, who led the successful representation of Johnny Depp in his defamation trial.
Do you want to start a successful podcast that will generate leads for your law firm? At Good2Be Social, we work with many different law firms and help them to produce and promote their podcasts. Podcasts today are more popular than ever. In fact, today's internet users routinely use podcasts on a monthly, weekly, or even daily basis to stay informed and be entertained. As this medium continues to grow, law firms don't want to fall behind and need to move beyond traditional written content and onto the digital airwaves. Unfortunately, when it comes to podcasting, many legal marketers aren't sure about where to start. With our latest ebook, The Law Firm Guide to Podcasting, readers can learn how to choose a format, a topic, and a name that will get you noticed, how to select and reach out to potential guests, the technology and the recording basis you know to produce a successful show, as well as how to measure the success of your podcast. So hurry now, go to the Good2Be Social website and look for The Law Firm Guide to Podcasting ebook. And what lessons did you learn from the Johnny Depp trial about digital marketing for law firms?
Well, you know, guys, legal marketers, we always want to fully capitalize on high-profile events to ensure that we maximize the exposure of our brand and our digital presence. However, when that trial began in April, we actually came up with a counterintuitive strategy. For anything related to that case or to the trial, we went dark on social media. Now, that strategy was driven in large part by the judge presiding over the case. She issued a gag order. And of course, as marketers, we wanted to honor that order. So with the exception of a very short media advisory describing our role in the trial posted only on our website, not on social media, it was business as usual. We were just focusing on other things happening at the firm. Despite the gag order, you know, in the back of my head, I'm thinking there's still ways around it. You know, there's still things we can just sneak out there. But we didn't do that. Yep. And, you know, guy, you can imagine all the teeth grinding, the sweaty palms, the sleepless nights that came with that decision. You know, were we blowing an opportunity of a lifetime? Were we committing marketing malpractice? Were we destined to look back on this move with eternal shame and regret? I mean, thankfully, the answer was no, no, and no. You know, given the prominence of social media in the trial, with millions commenting on it in real time, the best thing we could have done was absolutely nothing. You know, the last thing we would want as marketers is to be accused of trying to influence the outcome of the trial. Right. So the first thing we shared on social media related to the trial was the jury verdict, which of course was overwhelmingly in favor of our client. And by that point, our visibility on all platforms was already sky high. So that old expression, less is more, turned out to be true in that case.
That's so interesting. And you guys definitely raised your visibility, but one of the things that I found very intriguing is you sort of captured that momentum and really continued to grow that platform for you guys. You know, how did you guys do that?
You know, for us, we realized that we had two different audiences. We had a pop culture audience that was there for Johnny Depp and, you know, everything related to that trial. I mean, as a matter of fact, I think that topic is still trending on Twitter almost every day. There's something about Johnny Depp or Amber Heard.
It's amazing.
That's always trending there. Yeah. It is amazing. So we understood, okay, after we were able to start sharing content, that any time that Camille or Ben or any of the lawyers who were involved with that case, if they were going on ABC News or the morning shows, or if they were just going on, you know, court TV or just an interview with a magazine, that we were going to make sure that we were going to highlight that just to make sure that, hey, we've got to give red meat to that audience, the pop culture audience. But on the other side, we also had a law firm audience for our clients, prospects, law students, and we wanted to make sure that they were aware that, hey, we do more stuff than just celebrity trials, okay? We're really well known for restructuring. You know, we've got a very thriving practice in life sciences and technology, global litigation. So, you know, it was really just a matter of, hey, you know, you say post-pandemic, I'm not quite sure it's post-pandemic. I mean, I know Anthony Fauci said the pandemic was over, I don't know, but I know that things were more normal than they were in 2021. And so we were going to try and capture everything that was going on with our lawyers and our business professionals in terms of events and outings and things of that nature. And that's what we've been doing.
That's fantastic. Well, kudos to you guys, because I can see you guys continue to improve and grow. So what are we looking at for 2023? What are your digital marketing goals for this year?
Well, you know, this is a special year for us as we are celebrating our 75th anniversary. And, you know, it could not have come at a better time with our social media channels and our website becoming such a powerful platform for us. You know, we now have over 53,000 followers on LinkedIn, over 25,000 on Twitter, nearly 17,000 on Instagram, and nearly 10,000 on Facebook. You know, we've had millions of visitors to our website in 2022. And so, you know, we want to continue to build on that momentum and invite people to learn more about the history of our firm, the past 75 years, the incredible work that our lawyers, as well as our clients, are doing, and why it's such a great place to work at Brown Rudnick. You know, some of the people in the audience may accuse me of bias, and that's fine. But, you know, objectively speaking, and I want to be as objective as possible, even if I was not at Brown Rudnick, I would say there's a lot of amazing things that are happening at that firm. And, you know, we just want to capture that, you know, on our platforms going forward.
Fantastic. Well, wishing you all the best. We have run out of time, and I know you got a very busy day, so I appreciate your time with us today. Before I let you go, however, what word of advice or takeaway would you have for our listeners, especially those that are maybe struggling with their digital marketing or don't really know what to do when it comes to differentiating their efforts from other firms?
Well, you know, I want to circle back to the Johnny Depp trial, because that was such a huge moment. You know, I was working at Hughes Hubbard and Reed for 10 years, and, you know, there were big moments there as well. And I think every law firm, you're going to have big moments, maybe not on the same level as a televised celebrity trial. But, you know, as I said before, you know, when we decided that we were not going to do anything on social media, I know for myself, I was really questioning myself, like, you know, am I going to regret this? I mean, I laughed about it before, but really, I'm like, my God, we're never going to get a moment like this ever again. And I think the big lesson for me, once I saw the type of growth that we had after it was all said and done, is that, you know, when these high profile opportunities for publicity emerge, you just cannot be afraid to let your work speak for itself. If there are complications, that you have to trust the process, you have to trust everything that you've done. And you just have to say, you know, let the chips fall where they may and see what happens.
Love it. That's great advice. Well, Stephen, thank you so much for your time today and for sharing some of the great things that you guys have accomplished and some of the great work that you've been doing. For our listeners, if you enjoyed today's episode, you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, you go to our website, goodtobesocial.com/podcast. There you can subscribe. You can also check out some of our great past episodes. Stephen, we're going to add a link to your website, your LinkedIn profile, your Twitter account on the show notes. Thank you again for taking the time today. And we look forward to seeing what is in store for you guys this year. And maybe we'll have you back next year with more success to celebrate. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me, Guy.
Thank you, Stephen. And to our listeners, Happy New Year. I hope everyone had a wonderful holiday season. And we're very excited about 2023 and all the great things we're going to be doing on the podcast. So thank you for listening today, and we will see you next week. Thank you.